Amen, amen. Thank you, Tammy. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid 2024. Welcome to the new year. And what we hope it brings to us is a more and better understanding of how to serve the Lord and give the Lord all the credit for everything. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid 2024. It's an interesting take on human nature. People can and will fight for the right to be stupid. They will. All of us will fight for the right to be stupid. And it will cause long-term problems. Having said that, all will be tested. You can't have all this and fail a test for correct thinking, you know. God will teach you and try you. It is a part of a lifelong journey in what I believe to be sanctification. What is sanctification? Read about it in the book. It's God burning away the shenanigans of our life to teach us how to act correctly. How much do I want to put up with me until I give it to God? How much do I want to put up with me? Job 23:10. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yeah, that's the goal. We get a little sidetracked, don't we? The measure of a person, I say, is how fast you get off of it. I try to remember that. The measure of a person, the measure of the man, is how fast he gets off of it. Well, why don't I say the woman? Because I'm a man. Duh. So is the measure of the woman how fast she gets off of it? Well, I definitely suggest that to you if you're a woman, how fast you get off of it. We're all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid. A quote by Benjamin Franklin. Another quote by Martin Luther King Jr. Nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Stupid gets in the way, doesn't it? Best scenario is to catch it quick, stand down, and get away from it. Get back on track. The arrogance of stupid doesn't allow for that, does it? Stupid feels itself to be very smart, very crafty, and very wise. All of that is not true. Don't be foolish with power and authority. I believe I deserve to have blah, blah, blah is not a good way to start any sentence. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Reddit Corporation has four principles. I'll tell you number two. It has four. If you want to know what they all are, ask me. This is number two. Always supportive, slightly detached, and always equal. Be a problem solver is what that means. Always supportive, slightly detached, so people don't break your heart, so you can still make good assessments. Always equal, not above or below anyone. In all things to our fellows, equal. Be a problem solver, right? Three D's. What gets in the way of that? What gets in the way of everything? What causes, what happens because of the arrogance of stupid? What does it cause? It causes the three D's. I'm going to explain. You hope it causes the third D, three D's, but it definitely causes the first two. Dissension, division, and deliverance. What exactly happens in the arrogance of stupid? Loss of relationships, time, love. Dissension comes first. Division of people comes second. And then you hope to God deliverance comes. God comes and fixes it. He delivers you from it. You hope that happens. He gets me through my bad choices and the consequences. However, I say to all of you, I run the risk of permanent damage. Not fun. Stupid is very expensive. Paul knew this, and for this reason, he appealed to the Colossians in a letter outlined in this passage. Colossians 1:9-14. Listen to this, kids. This is all of us. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's what he said. He was praying for the Colossians like we should all pray for each other, that we learn it, we get it, we set down the arrogance and the stupid. Common sense is not so stupid. I mean, common sense is not so common, and stupid is very expensive. It's a very small fraternity that succeed long term. It's a very small fraternity that succeed long term. Maybe in the short run, many do what it takes to stop the madness, but forever better, not very many make that committed change. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's a short distance to fail. Every day, it's a short distance to fail. It's a long distance to succeed long term. Most people, the original set of problems will be repeated. Negligence, immaturity, indignation, and a lost, never to be realized destiny. Oh yeah, I see it. I see it in my job. I see it. I see it. People return. As it says in Scripture, a dog returns to its vomit. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? I don't even have that listed in the notes. But Proverbs 18:3, I got that one. When wickedness comes, so does contempt. And with shame comes reproach. The arrogance of stupid is reserved just for you, overachievers, people who are winners, people who got it going on, people who are anointed and appointed by God. Chapter 32 was invented by the devil for you specifically, because you are the winners that God puts out there for people to have hope. You are the enemy's target. And when wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes reproach. Don't give back what has been given to you, man. You know, as captured by the 19th century British politician, Lord Acton, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Correct checks and balances. Without correct checks and balances, all people will go astray. King Solomon, reigning over Israel during the times of circa 90, I guess it was 970 to 931 BC, is quoted in many scripts as saying, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." As it says in Hebrews 5:11, "See, you have become dull of hearing." Kids, don't let it happen. Don't give back the real estate God has given you. Don't let him take it. Don't let the devil take it back. Transversely, winners are willing to take a path they don't like. They're willing to walk with inconvenience, push through the challenge and the frustration. Faith that God is doing his good work. Winners are willing to do the things they don't want to do. You know as well as I do, you can talk yourself into, when you don't want to do it, you can talk yourself into believing it's not God's will or it ain't any good. I didn't sign up for that. It ain't any good. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now. This doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel right. I'm telling you what. Destructive behavior, many times in the name of God, or not, either just in your own name. Either way, it's all bad. Luck runs out. And I do mean luck, because without God, that's all you got. And that's never enough, kids. You're a target. You're anointed, appointed, blessed 10 times over. Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil. How many times are we just burning on what we're going to do? Just burning on it, I tell you. I'm going to do it. I know what I'm going to do. I'm not listening to that guy or anybody else. So, in the arrogant, it's a tough lesson, right? Because we're all stupid, right? It takes a lot of God to get us out of our arrogance and our stupid, especially when we're running companies and we've done something good in our lives. We've done good things. right? Suddenly we're all about me. In the arrogance of stupid, how to combat our selfish, indignant nature. Isn't that a great word, indignant? It just sounds bad, doesn't it? I talk about it all the times. Perhaps we even pray until God sees it the way I want it, right? Or, hey, forget it. Just skip God. Either way, I just pray until he sees it my way, or I'll just skip it. I'll just skip God entirely. That's been going on a long time. Mankind, you know, has tried to explain human nature without God for centuries. For centuries. I'll just name a couple of points. Let's see. In Europe, during the years between 1685 and 1730, it was called the Age of Enlightenment, questioning traditional authority. What do you think traditional authority is? The Bible. The Age of Enlightenment is embracing the notion that humanity could improve through rational change. Humanity could improve itself through rational change. Because we're all rational, right? Not. But the American and French revolutions were directly inspired by the Enlightenment movement and ideals that came from that. Did it work? No. None of it worked. It didn't work. People went right back to their old intolerant and easy ways of doing things. Convenient. Accountability seemed too much trouble. Especially, get this, when stupid is so convenient, right? Francis Bacon, Thomas Hobbes, René Descartes, Galileo, Kepler, Leibniz. Recognize those names? Probably not. Maybe a couple. There's a reason why you don't know these people. You don't remember them. They explained the human condition and what to do about it. Why don't you remember? Because it didn't work. It was forgotten. They were forgotten. Isaac Newton. He published Principia Mathematica. Sounds pretty cool, huh? Principia Mathematica. And John Locke. He wrote Essay Concerning Human Understanding. Two books that provided the scientific, mathematical, and philosophical toolkit for mankind's opportunity for major advances made by men. Did it work? It didn't. That's why you don't remember them. That's why nobody talks about it. It didn't work. They forgot. We forgot them. We forgot what they said. None of it is remembered. And it's written by presumably brilliant men. Long story short, the Bible's still around, isn't it? We remember the Bible. Nothing sticks without the Word, kids. Nothing sticks. I'm old enough to be able to tell you, nothing sticks without the Word. What does work? The book. Truly, to study, not just read. To study. To study it. And then what happens? What happens if you study the book? Joshua 1:8c. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It tells you right there, do the book. Why doesn't people can't read? Why? Because they say the Bible is irrelevant. Bad idea. Resist the need to be right, kids. In the arrogance of stupid, resist the need to be right. You could be wrong. Be gracious. Take a moment to ask, clarify, understand, engage, conversation, say prayers. Verify every plan with the Word. Find a scripture that supports your inclination. When you say, I want to do this, I say, show me the scripture. Show me where you found it in the book. Show me. I got to say it to myself too, kids. Don't think I'm perfect. You know I'm not. You know, I got to try just like everybody else, and I got to try hard. I got to stay in it all the time. My head's a dangerous neighborhood. Who wants to go in there by myself? Not me. Without knowledge, competent, clear knowledge, accountability, and wisdom, my name is what? Let me say it again, brothers and sisters. Without knowledge, competent, clear knowledge, without knowledge, competent, clear knowledge, accountability, and wisdom, what is my name? What is my name without that? Without knowledge in God, my name is ignorant. This is truth. Please hear me, my friends. Please hear me. Fight against mediocrity in yourself. Revolt against yourself and evolve in Christ. Revolution, evolution. Luke 12:48b. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. Demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Who is that? It's you. It's you and me. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. There's no honor in that. If you're going to fall, stand for Jesus. Isaiah 35 tells the great description of the highway of holiness, a safe place for believers. It's really cool. I just discovered it over the last couple of years. I was like, when did they put this in the book? You know, I've had this book in my hand for 30 years, right? When did somebody sneak in and put this in there? Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. It's just for believers, people trying to be, as I said, sanctified, trying to learn how to burn off the chaff, how to get rid of the chaos in your mind and yourself, to remove the weeds around me. It's dangerous curves on that road, but God keeps us from falling off. He develops the wisdom and maturity in us. My friends, stay on the highway. Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. All right, now, check your phones. We have a machine noise on there right now that will be very distracting for people. Check your phones. Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's the highway of holiness. Who doesn't want to go there? The devil's not on this highway. Is there anything that can harm the believer? Nothing that can harm you is on that highway. Where does it go? Passenger on the road arrives where God lives. Happy singing praises. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, and the weak and the crippled healed. Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear, no more death, sorrow, or crying, no pain, the former things have passed away. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? My brother, my sister, do you believe it? Do you believe in such a text, or do you think it's just a story in the Bible? Let me tell you something about the Bible.
About the story in the Bible.
I hear that a lot. I'll tell you what about this book. About 2,500 prophecies appear in the pages of the Bible. 2,500. And about 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled to the letter. No errors. Is that awesome? The rest of them haven't happened yet. The ones that are written in the Bible, not one of them was missed. 2,000 of them have already happened. The odds for 2,000 prophecies to be fulfilled by chance without error is less than 1 in 10 to the 2,000th power. That's one with 2,000 zeros written after it. It's the only book that tells the future. It's the only book that's flawless. It's the only book that says what happened and it did. Every other book that talks about the future, it's just conjecture. Hit and miss, not even. People make it up. Yeah, that's what it says.
I read about it. I think that's what it says in the way it was hieroglyphic out.
Charles Spurgeon, one of my great guys that I like to quote, he was a super pastor in days gone by, a theologian, and he is quoted as saying, "Many books in my library are now behind and beneath me. I read them years ago with considerable pleasure. I have read them since with disappointment. I shall never read them again, for they are of no service to me. They were good in their way once, and so were the clothes I wore when I was 10 years old, but I have outgrown them. I know more than these books know, and know wherein they are faulty. Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years." Let me say it again, kids. Many books in my library are now behind and beneath me. I read them years ago with considerable pleasure. I have read them since with disappointment. I shall never read them again, for they are of no service to me. They were good in their way once, and so were the clothes I wore when I was 10 years old. But I have outgrown them. I know more than these books know. And know wherein they are faulty. Nobody ever outgrows Scripture, though. The book widens and deepens with our years. You know, I was working for a church. I was a worship leader, and there was a meeting every month, you know, and they were all, it's kind of a small church, and they were very impressed with each other. They had started this church, and they were very impressed that they were the key element of all big churches that had gone awry, that they were anointed and appointed. Maybe they were. They were very impressed with what they are, and they were very judgmental of others and other things because they felt that they had a sincere responsibility to do God's work. I'm not exactly sure if they were doing God's work, but they were saying one day at this meeting, what books has everybody read? There was about 15 of them. And everybody was spouting off about what books they had read and how it affected them in their walk and how amazing each one was, and everybody was amazed with each other, and they were outdoing each other with the books they'd read. Oh my, and how they now saw the resurrection and how they knew all those things. Oh my gosh, it was great. It was my great. And I said, you know, I used to have a big library. And I gave them all away because I don't have time. I read the book. I read the Bible, and there are so many commentaries, I have to focus entirely on that. And I remember looking at that room, and they were all like, that boy ain't from around these parts, is he? I don't know if I like that boy, I'll tell you that right now. But I had this Charles Spurgeon quote in my mind, and I knew it was going to be a problem. And that problem is the same there as it is in the world. The book is the primary source. And what I was looking at that room, possibly, can't say for sure, is the arrogance of stupid. What's stupid like? It's like jumping off of a 90-story building. Now think about it. Jumping off a 90-story building, just jumping off of it and thumbing your nose at those looking from the safety of their windows as you fall. You're like, I got this. Look at the view. Oh, I got it. It's a nice breeze. I can see everything. I am in control of my destiny. No, you're not. Leave stupid alone. It costs everyone around in your life, including and especially children. Leave stupid alone. It costs everybody in your life, everybody around you, including especially the children. Isaiah 55, hey, all who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why pay money for something that will not nourish you? Why spend your hard-earned money on something that will not satisfy? Dude, does that say it all? Why are we stupid? It says right here, come to the water. Come to the water. Why pay money for something that will not nourish you? How often do we go, I've got to do this, got to buy that, got to get this, got to do that. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to invest in this. I'm flip this and I'm flip that. Right there it says, why spend your hard-earned money on something that will not satisfy? Do you know how well it does to watch the correct pastor take money and reinvest it in his flock? Do you know how cool that is? If you don't, you should try it. This is the word of God given to you and me. Why do we side that we know better? I don't know, man, but we do it all the time. And we pay the price of wasted time, talent, and destiny. Lord, could our prayer just be that we have eyes to see and ears to hear? You might ask, what have I found to be the example? Here it comes, the example. The premier example of the arrogance of stupid. What's the premier example? Well, there are two that I have discovered. Now, there's probably a lot more, but These are the ones that I've personally witnessed. There are two. One, there is no God and the Bible is an irrelevant novel. That's the first one I've witnessed. And the second one, what I decide is truth. What I decide is the truth. Both of those are the premier elements of the arrogance of stupid. There is no God and the Bible is an irrelevant novel. And number two, what I decide is the truth. They're listed in the correct order, by the way. Is that your mantra? If it is, may God help you. And of course it's not. Nobody on this call is like that. If that is the mantra of someone you know, let's pause and pray for the family. Leviticus 10:10, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid 2024. Amen. Now, as you hear the recording back before John jumps in, let's see. What would I like to say here today? Eli, I want your coffee back online. So get it going on, dude. Creativity, get it going on. John, let's get everybody back to work.